Chapter 6 Underdark. Dior stood beneath the earth of the Holy Sepulchre, staring at the mother of her mothers. A flock of conspirators were gathered now around her, arguing about the choices before them. There was the Lady Rain, of course, royalty in homespun, eyes afire. The first of her household, noble Lady Arlin, was debating with a pair of young men, red of hair and blue of eye, like enough to be brothers. These were beaux to the sword maids Gillian and Morgana, that same pair of gallants that had saved Dior from her treacherous heels outside Nikita's chambers. An older man with a trimmed grey beard stood beside Arlin, her husband, Laird Bran. Last of all was young Isla Arquin, the maid of Nikita's boudoir. Twin beauty spots on her cheek, and blood crusted under her fingernails. Our moat watched all from the threshold, still unable to enter the sepulchre's sacred ground. The figures snapped at each other, hushed voices echoing on the walls of the Mother Maid's empty tomb. And all the while, Dior stared at the mosaic of San Michon upon the wall, the sigil of the Asana, wrought above the first martyr in bright white stone.
"Why nefri ye the kitchen stuff?" one of the gallants demanded. "Then we have access to the morn meal of every thrall in the keep."
"Ye think it worth the risk, Declan?" Arlin demanded. "If we free those girls from their bondage, do you think any of them would have the stomach to keep carving up the dead for dinner? If but one of them breaks, we're all undone."
"The grey jester watches us eat anyway," the other lad growled. "Stands in the barracks and just stares at us. If ye say the dead can scent the Lady Lachance's blood..."
"They can," Rain nodded. "It's like perfume to them. Then the jester may smell it."
Morgana squeezed Declan's hand, shaking her head.
"We canna risk it, love. One misstep and we're buried."
His brother spoke again, a chiseled young warrior named Mehron, hands calloused by bladework and eyes far too old for his years.
"Well, we must do something. If not, when those heathens hit the walls, we die. Ye say we've bought a day until the Highlanders attack. That's nae time to free every soul in this keep one by one."
"Strike off the viper's head and the body dies, Mehron," Rain said. "And this place is a nest of them. If we end Nikita and Lily, their alliance will crumble, I'm sure of it."
Isla spoke then, her voice soft.
"But how would you do that?"
"Aye, how?"
Declan demanded, looking among the gather.
"They're monsters with the strength of centuries in them. The night they took the dun, the Black Heart was hurling boulders the size of wagons at the walls. I saw him. We canna hope to hurt him."
"He is strong," Arlin nodded. "But the tallest tree in the forest still burns, and even monsters need to sleep."
All eyes turned to Dior as she spoke, a hush falling on the tomb. Mehron and Laird Bran bowed their heads. Gillian and Declan signed the wheel, as if it were a miracle every time the Grail opened her mouth. They looked at her, each and every one, and we could see the fire of faith absolute in their eyes. The girl who had freed them from slavery eternal, the clutches of a waking nightmare, the right hand of God himself upon this earth.
"My Lady Lachance, you can call me Dior, Laird Bran," she smiled. "I've not earned a title."
"Ye've earned every accolade in this realm by my reckon, lass,"
the older man smiled. He was a simple sort, grandfatherly and warm, but his sword arm was hale, hands roughed by the blade.
"But neither the beast Lily nor Nikita slumber unguarded."
"No," she agreed, "but the untamed have complete faith in the bond of their blood. They've never considered what could happen if it breaks. And half the people in this room are the ones who stand watch on Nikita's door while he sleeps."
Isla cleans his chambers. Rain knows a hidden path into his boudoir. Selene can keep watch for the moment his head hits the pillow. Then we hit him.
Them, young Declan snarled. That blonde one he's been bloodying his sheets with is a devil, through and through. He deserves the same hell as his master.
No,
Dio said, sharpening.
Nobody touches Aaron. None of this is his fault.
The young knight bowed low, hand to heart. My Lady Grail.
Fuck's sakes, call me Dior.
My Lady Grail, Dior, ye've ne witnessed the things they do. I saw the state of the bodies Isla was cleaning up yestereve. Tell her, lass.
The maid swallowed as Declan looked her way, hands clasped tightly.
The pair of them have been busy together. But Master Nikita...
No, Dior said harder.
Aaron saved my life. He's not like that. Everything he's done, he's been forced to by the Blackheart. Aaron da Costa is off limits, understand?
Young Declan scowled, but still he bowed low.
Your will, my Lady Grail.
Dior massaged her temples, sighing.
What if they didn't sleep tomorrow? Gillian said. There's an army of disc dancers on their doorstep. They may not have a will to hit the pillows.
Then we ask Gabe to wait another day,
Dior said.
They have to sleep sometime.
And what of the beast, Lily?
Arlen asked, eyes shining with hate. Even without guards at her door, she is never alone. Always that accursed wolf skulks at her heels.
We,
Dior sighed, eyes distant. But when she visits me in my boudoir, Prince waits outside. So long as we hit Lily and Nikita at the same time, a sharp knife and a few moments with her distracted is all I need.
And how will you distract her, my Lady Grail? Bran asked.
Dior raised one eyebrow, lips quirked.
I'll tell you when you're older, Milord.
The old man grasped the hilt at last, blushing and staring at his boots. Rain's failing eyes twinkled, and she and Dior looked at each other and laughed, despite it all.
Gillian and Morgana shared a glance, Lady Arlen clearing her throat in the silence.
We risk much striking like this, and though your coming is a miracle, Lady Grail, these monsters destroyed our country. Will your blood alone be enough to end them?
I don't know, Dior murmured. It burns them, I'm certain of that. But the only ancient I killed with it was stabbed through the heart with an enchanted blade bathed in it.
Don't suppose you've any enchanted blades in that dress? Rain asked.
This corset's barely got room for me in it,
Dior winced, adjusting her extravagant gown.
Why the fuck you all wear these things is beyond me. Would a silver blade serve in their hearts?
Morgana wondered aloud.
Dior chewed on that, sucking her lip in thought. Silver hurts them, sure and true. If I were the gambling kind, I'd roll the dice on it.
What difference does it make?
Gillian hissed.
We've ne'er got a silver blade either.
Morgana scowled at her older sister, dragging a flame-red lock from her face and gesturing behind Dior.
There's silver blades right there, you dozy twat.
Didn't call me a dozy twat, you doz... Ladies, please!
Arlen snapped. Dior turned around, lips parted.
Seven martyrs, she's right!
Below the mosaic rested that mighty vault, Thalée de Megda, the tomb of the Mother Maid. Its marble was cracked and broken, but the vault was capped by that great sculpture of purest silver. The Mother Maid's likeness lay in mail upon her bed of skulls, long blade clasped at her breast. About her were gathered cherubs at wing and fierce seraphim at watch, silver swords held high to guard the empty resting place below. Rain looked the sculpture over, failing eyes glittering.
Can we? Let's try, Gillian breathed.
Dior watched as Rain and her comrades clambered over the Mother Maid's tomb
attempting to pry the blades free with the unholy strength of their masters lingering yet in their veins. Standing beside the grail, Isla made the sign of the wheel, whispering a prayer under her breath at the blasphemy of it all. Dior shook her head.
"We're a long way from the chapel at Avalane, Mademoiselle Aquin."
Isla nodded, her face grim.
"We are that, Mademoiselle Lachance."
Dior watched Rain struggling with a sword, her gaze drifting over her ancestor as she murmured to the girl beside her.
"You know, I keep thinking about what you said that night we sheltered near the river, how it feels like it's been raining all our lives." "I was wrong to despair," the girl said, touching Dior's arm, "and you were right to bid me hope. I feared I might never see the end of this road, but I truly believe God has delivered us to the place we're supposed to be, here, with the ones we love. I saw Joaquin the other day." Dior smiled at Isla sidelong. "In the stable." The girl hung her head, her voice soft.
Is he all right?"
"He's well. He asked about you. The coldness he showed you in the caravan was just a ruse, mon ami. He's not forgotten you."
Dior squeezed the girl's hand, looked into her eyes.
"Have no fear, Isla. You too will get your ever after, I promise."
The others were still struggling at the sculpture, all to no avail. Mehron cursed beneath his breath, tugging at one of the blades in an angel's fist. Morgana's face had gone bright red with effort, Declan leaning all his weight into another blade, trying to pry it from that silvered grip. But even with the strength of the scorched,
"I canna do it. Bloody things stuck fast. Jilly, that's my foot, damn ye.
It's no good," Rain cursed, pawing summer curls from sweating skin. "This is all one sculpted piece of metal. It will bend before it breaks."
"We could cut it," Morgana suggested.
Her bow, Declan, rubbed his chin.
"With what?"
"Saw from the smithy. They're bound to have one."
Her sister sucked her lip, gave a grudging nod. "Nae a bad idea, Morgie." Morgana smiled, genuinely pleased.
"Aye, thanks, Chilly. Did you think of it all by yourself? Or pull it out of your
Morgana thumped her sister's arm, the pair cursing as they scuffled.
"We don't have anyone in the smithy."
Red-faced and scowling, Rain tugged at the long blade in the Mother Maid's hand, looking to Isla.
"Maybe your man Joaquin ca—"
The sword shifted in the princess's grip. The sculpture shivered, dust drifting from the silver. Isla cried out, the others leaping clear as the whole tomb shuddered, chunks of marble facade falling away. The sound of stone, grinding stone, rang through the tomb, and as we watched from the threshold, that mighty vault of marble and metal rolled back, sliding by some ancient mechanism along those strange grooves in the floor. And beneath, we saw a hole in the stonework, a hidden stair leading deeper into the earth.
"Sweet Mother Maid,"
Rain whispered, signing the wheel.
"What is this sorcery?"
Arlen whispered. Dior glanced to the mosaic above, the sigil of the Isana in the clouds over Michonne's head. The grail looked to us, spinning and whirring through the air, never more frustrated that we could not pass this threshold to see what lay beyond. We knew this could never be Marin's resting place, not upon sanctified ground. And yet, scuffing the stone at her feet with the tip of her dainty heels, Dior pointed to a design carved into the rock.
"Another sigil of the Isana," she breathed.
"The hell of the bloody Isana," Gillian whispered.
"Good God almighty, it reeks,"
Laird Bran said, covering his face with his sleeve. His wife took his arm, Lady Arlen's sharp blue gaze on Dior. Morgana stepped up to the brink, towing a small pebble down the stairs. Her sister slipped up beside her, giving her a sharp nudge toward the hole, the younger sibling cursing and shoving her elder back. All around the gathering, eyes turned to Dior, but the Grail only shook her head. I've no fucking idea what's down there. Rain stood at the edge of the stair, wincing at the evil smell. Should we? We should get back, Isla said, wringing her hands. If their council in the Hall of Plenty ends and they find us missing. Dior nodded to Rain. Isla's right. I can go down alone.
Like hell, the princess said. We go down together or not at all.
The Grail looked among the gathering, chewing her lip. Our wings battered the air, furious, praying Almighty God we might call out to her. But she looked to me, and we could still see her distrust, her trepidation, at what I was, at what all this meant. And lips pressed thin, she took up Rain's lantern, nodding to the rest. All right, let's be quick. We screamed silently, racked with fear. Declan and Mehron insisted they go first, Morgana and Gillian next, the others following. They treaded down into that underdark, and we could do nothing, barred by that holy ground as if a wall of flame, able only to watch. Pray. They were gone what seemed an age of the earth. My flesh sat with Gabriel in his tent, speaking of times past and blood spilled. But that tiny mote of me sat watching all the while, listening, straining for a sound, a clue. It was difficult for us to keep our thoughts grounded in two places at once, drifting back and forth between tent and tomb, torn between two worlds. We stared at the image of the Mother Maid carved into the ironwood door on the threshold. Her graven face was cold, hands entwined in prayer, a halo of ancient runes around her head. Time stretched out eternal. Fear, my only handmaiden. The voices in my head howling their fear, their rage. But after a dark forever, we heard soft footsteps, saw lantern light brightening the stone, and at last, Dior emerged from that hole. Eyes wide, lips thin. The look on her face not so much terror as horror. The Princess Amergen followed, her face so bloodless she looked a corpse. The others emerged, Isla silent and wide-eyed, Lady Arlyn leaning on her husband's shoulder, Morgana arm in arm with her sister, their bows beside them. Their boots were wet with water that stank of brackish sea, and all of that secret company looked changed, not in their features, but in their hearts, as if they'd caught a glimpse of something that could never be unseen.
I don't understand, Gillian whispered.
She looked to the ceiling above as if for answers, tears shining in her eyes.
I don't understand.
They stood in the dark, pale and frightened, the world somehow forever shifted beneath their feet. But the Grail lingered not, lantern in hand, stalking toward the entrance of the tomb. There was rage in her eyes, along with horror now, damp skirts billowing about her as she stormed past the Mother Maid's graven door, back across the threshold.
My Lady Dior, Rain called. Where are you going?
We flew up toward her throat, but she battered us away, hissing.
To get a fucking sore!